Hello, and welcome to the Loft Gathering Podcast. Here at the Loft, our mission is reconciliation. We truly hope this podcast draws you into a new sense of belonging within the loving arms of Jesus Christ. Let's get started.
So, without further ado, God, would you breathe on this word this morning? Would you put your breath on what we're going to talk about? That we trust that you're leading us on a path, God. We trust that your hand is for us, your heart is for us, your eyes are on us. Father, show us your glory this morning. Jesus' name. So this is Palm Sunday. I do have a video. Is that ready? Does that video work? Let's give it a try. Let's look at this video and then we'll jump in. I know it's going to work, Lord. I trust that it will. It's okay. Forget about it. Forget about it. It's Palm Sunday, and it's the day that everybody waved their palm branches and said, Hosanna to the King when he was coming into town. 2,000 years ago, the first Palm Sunday witnessed in real life. And Jesus lowly riding on a donkey into Jerusalem, and everybody waving these palm branches, just like we wave our arms like this when we're in worship, and we wave our hands, you know, we get like this. All of that is symbolic. That's why we worship the way that we do. Palm branches waving, Hosanna, praise Jesus, the Messiah is entering now. And those same voices that said Hosanna on Monday shouted crucify on Friday. And it is an incredible insight into the human nature. It is a powerful warning to us that walk with him that we could be in the presence of God today and by Friday, we don't have anything pertaining to God or holiness. I know, Milo, it's sad. It's heavy. But God is for us. He's not against us. He wants us. And he continually shows us the pathway and the way of his will and the way of his word. And he's so good at it. Last week, we had an incredible time of deliverance. Now, when I say that word, what I'm saying is last week, we talked about symptoms that we might have in the body and in our lives that might indicate the enemy lurking. Was anybody here for that? Yeah. Okay, so after the service, we said a prayer and then we broke up in circles and y'all prayed for each other and I could see you. I could see the crying, I could see the breaking. I walked by and eavesdropped the best that I could to hear what you were saying to God and what you were praying over each other. And it was powerful. And then I got feedback after. And, you know, from people that I trust. And they just said, wow, I didn't realize the enemy had snuck in on me like that. And what happens is the enemy is a trickster. He's not holy. He's unholy. And he's not for you. He is against you. He hates your guts because you're made in the image and likeness of God. And so what happens, you know, we over time, layer upon layer of decay and brokenness and corruption and defilement come on us. And last week we had a moment where we said, in the name of Jesus, get off me, right? And so people came and told stories to me about how they felt a weight lift off of them. It's maintenance, okay? How many people clean your house? I know everybody doesn't, but some of us clean our house, right? We clean our house. We cook a meal. We put the dishes in the sink. We wipe off the counter. We do the dishes. We clean the sink, right? I do that about every third time, okay? I'm just kidding. But every second. But anyway, we clean it up when there's a mess. Your body is a temple. It is the house of the Holy Spirit. You are a house, and he lives in there. And when it gets dirty and mucked up with fear and pride and lust and greed and all those things, you got to sweep it out. That's all it is. It's a maintenance issue. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's everything to lean into when we have messages like this, right? You understand that? So we had this special time. And keeping in mind the same crowd that shouted Hosanna, shout crucify him when things aren't going the way they think they should go. And sometimes it goes like that in life. It doesn't go like we think it should go. But you still have to say Hosanna. And you still have to wave the palm branches if you belong to him and you're bought with a price. Because he will come through. He's not a disappointer. So there's a place in Matthew which I'm going to read the part that I want to focus on. And then I'm going to give us some context. Lord, help this to come out how you want it to sound. So Matthew 12, 43 through 45, And because it's Jesus speaking, would you stand up in honor of Jesus speaking? We haven't done this in a while. I don't like to get lazy on things that are powerful. I don't want to treat something that is holy like it doesn't matter. So when we stand, it's just in a kind way to go, I see you there, God. I'm receiving your order. I'm receiving what you have for me. Lay it on me, right? Okay, so you lean in. I'm going to read it. It says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man like did last week, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finding none. And then he says, I'll return to the house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds the house empty and swept and put in order. And then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and they dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first, and so shall it be with this wicked generation. You can be seated. These are red words, things that Jesus is teaching us. It's like when Jesus is talking, I really lean in. He's the Lord and the King. He's the one that gave up his life for my sin and then came back to life in a powerful display so I could live free, right? When he's talking, we want to lean in and hear what he's saying. So in this, Jesus is describing a demon leaving a person. A house, your house. When a demon comes in and defiles you and it leaves, there has to be something put in the house to guard it against the strong man's return. Are you tracking with me, church? Did you know that you can't grow spiritually by the content you absorb on Facebook or social media? You guys post a lot of memes and a lot of scripture, and so do I. But it doesn't, you don't grow from that. You grow from entering into the presence of God and letting him speak and breathe and move you, and from nothing else. Growth only comes from the presence of God. You're welcome. So the beginning of this chapter in chapter 12 is talking about the Sabbath. Jesus is talking about the Sabbath. He's healing somebody on the Sabbath. You know, Jesus. He says, you know, how many of you, he's criticized. Oh, you're working on the Sabbath there, Lord. You probably shouldn't do that. All the religious minds, all the Pharisees said that to him in the beginning of chapter 12. Go read it for yourself after this. I'm going to pick us up in verse 15, I think. But I'm telling you how it started. He's talking about the Sabbath and he's saying there's a time for you to rest. When you're exhausted, you're vulnerable. If you don't rest in a time when you're exhausted, your vulnerability becomes corrupt and contempt. Okay. And then you find yourself in a state where you're like, how did I get here? How did I get all the way over here? Man, I was doing so good. I was tracking along with God. Now here I am all the way back over here. Well, you were probably tired and you didn't rest. Remember Elijah when he was tired and hungry and he laid under the tree and God brought a raven to bring him some food so he could eat? You need a nap and some food. Go get it. It's very spiritual. It's very spiritual. Jesus is talking about the Sabbath. But the Sabbath doesn't exist to dictate your life. It is for you. It is an opportunity for you to step into something God created. He set it over here for you to step into. He didn't put it there so that you could bow down to it and that you would be subject to it. And he even said it. Is the one who made the Sabbath not the Lord of it? Jesus said stuff like that. The Pharisees are saying, are you going to heal that guy on the Sabbath? And he goes, if you had an ox in the ditch on the Sabbath, would you pull it out? Of course you would. And he heals the man's hand on the Sabbath. And he's telling us all this because he's telling us that he's the Lord. The whole story is about how God cares about people. The whole thing, even this part about the demonic piece, okay? So listen to this. So they see Jesus heal the man's hand, and the Pharisees plot how they're going to kill him, how they're going to destroy him. One of the times they wanted to kill him. But Jesus knew it, and that's where we'll pick up the story. Matthew 12, 15, it says, Jesus knew it. He knew they were going to try to kill him because he healed that man on the Sabbath. They despised that Jesus cared about what things actually were rather than how they looked. People care how things look. God cares about how things actually are in your heart. Thank you, God. So he withdrew. He withdrew from there. And a great multitude followed him, and he healed them all. And he warned them not to make it known, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying this. Now listen. Behold my servant whom I've chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. This is the Word of God, the Father, speaking about Jesus, the Son. And anything you read like that, when you read it and you feel like God's talking to you, like even this morning, I felt like in that song, you know, I can't get enough of you. I felt like the Lord was saying, I can't get enough of you. Come, kneel before me, yield before me. And all of you, he's calling us into his presence. I can't get enough. That's why I kept singing it. He's like, I can't get enough. I can't get enough of my creation. And he's just so jealous for the worship. But when you hear something in scripture and it speaks to your heart, take it for yourself. Take it for yourself. Behold my servant. I pour my spirit on. Are you the servant of the Lord?
Yes.
Has he poured his spirit on you? Indeed, he has. So it's powerful. Behold my servant. I've chosen my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will pour my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory. And in his name, Gentiles will trust, because a house divided can't stand. And he goes on and on. Okay, Jesus knows the thoughts of the Pharisees that want to kill him, but he knows that the heart of the people are for him. All right, and Jesus starts to talk about whenever a spirit will enter you. Well, first before that, he even says, does anybody know what the unpardonable sin is? A sin that you can't be forgiven for. Have you ever heard of that before in your life? And people speculate, is that suicide if I kill myself? Is that an unpardonable sin? No, but that'll crush everyone that knows you, and the world's better with you here. So go ahead and stick around. Man and woman up to what God's called you to do, and set that liar on notice that you're going to follow the King of all kings. Here's the unpardonable sin. In verse 31, Jesus says, I'm telling you, every sin, every blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven men. Here's what that is. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. People say Jesus Christ in a derogatory way. When that happens, and I'm around, I go, is this a prayer meeting? We're going to worship the Lord now? Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or the age to come. And I truly believe that what that means is that if the Lord knocks on your heart and you keep slamming the door shut and you never answer it, how do you ever know him? That's all it means. I say no to the Holy Spirit over and over again. I refuse his presence. I refuse his forgiveness. I refuse his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The only unpardonable sin is to not come to Christ, not to come through the Holy Spirit and receive him. Does that hold water?
Yeah.
That holds water. Okay. It says a tree is known by its fruit. Either make a tree good and its fruit good, or make a tree bad and its fruit bad. This reminds me of that scripture in Revelation where Jesus is like, man, don't be lukewarm. Just be hot or cold. Love me or don't, but make your path and walk it. You know, and he's telling all these things before he ever speaks about defilement, about spirits, about an unclean spirit returning. He talks about the scribes and Pharisees. They come and they ask for a sign. This is Jesus. He's already fed the multitudes. His name has become kind of famous. He just healed the man's crippled hand. And then they go, could you give us a sign to cheer the Lord? And he said, did you see the crippled hand open up? Are you in the room? Because something comes on us. It's like a cloud that prevents us from entering into the presence of God. It's like a forbidding to come near the one who loves us the most. And we have to learn, saints, that is just a veil to be parted, that we can come and behold his goodness. Behold the King of glory. He wants to show us his glory, and he's really good at it. So show me a sign, and Jesus goes, well, I'll tell you what. You're an evil and adulterous generation. You're seeking a sign. No sign will be given. But what about Jonah? Think about that one. Jonah went in the belly of a whale for 3 days, and then he came out. That's what I'm going to do. Go figure it out. And he goes, and then he starts to explain it. If you can follow the train of thought, these Pharisees are delusional. They're under spiritual forbidding, demonic nature. How do you know that, Lisa? Because the next thing he says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, how many times has Jesus stood there and spoken life and freedom? How many times, every time Jesus is there, be quiet. Don't say who I am. I'm doing a work here for the kingdom, right? It says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, that's what Jesus is saying. Right in the middle of that conversation, He goes through dry places, seeking rest, finds none. Then he says, I would return to my house from which I came. See, if the enemy comes to your life and starts to have you doubt yourself or have you sabotage your own life or put foul thoughts that are just intrusive into your mind that come out of nowhere or causes you to be angry all of a sudden. Out of nowhere, it's not your character, but all of a sudden you're slamming doors and shouting profanities. You know, those things could be a sign that the enemy is lurking. And whenever he is lurking, Jesus is saying, be free. And you find a place of freedom in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, by the word of God, and by your own testimony, speaking it out. That's how we get freedom, okay? Have you ever heard that before, church? Yeah. Okay, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Okay, whenever a foul spirit, a demonic spirit, leaves someone, and then it comes back with seven more. This is the warning that we have to grab a hold of. I was talking with Rick earlier this week, and he was like, man, he was one of the people that said, that was incredible. I didn't even realize I was under a deluge of the enemy when here I am, a kingdom man of God. These are my words, not his words, you know, Rick. But the point was that when an unclean spirit comes and you tell it to get off and to get away, Rick says, don't you think we should speak about what happens if we don't fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit? If we don't invite the Holy Spirit to come live in there, we've got seven times what happened on Sunday coming for us. If that makes you feel a little scared, it probably should. The Lord isn't playing with you. Are you playing with him? He's not playing around. You know, he's calling us to be his witnesses on the earth. He's calling us to make declarations of faith every day that we're alive. Somebody said amen. Spirit says, I'll return to the house which I came. I'm gonna go back and see. I don't have anywhere to go. Demon thought, I'm wandering in a dry place and I'm not resting. I'm parched with a thirst that I cannot slake. I'm gonna go back and see if that dum-dum filled their house. No disrespect intended. I'm gonna go look and see if I can get back in there. And he comes. And if he finds it swept and clean, but no Holy Ghost, no Spirit of God, he goes, I wish I could whistle. Like, that's so lame. Hey, guys, looky here. It's a good place. And he brings seven brothers worse than him, more vile than him, to come and live there. That's why it gets worse every time we return to something that isn't from God, okay? But God leads us to the place of repentance. And then he says, invite the Holy Spirit. Invite the Holy Spirit to come on in. Do you not know that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit, that he lives in you, that he dwells in you? And so your voice then begins to say, thank you, God, for the deliverance from that spirit and for a knowledge that showed me what was tormenting my soul and trying to capture me. And God, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit? I'm opening wide the door of my soul, of my heart, of my mind. Would you come in? Would you baptize me in the Holy Spirit and fire? Would you cleanse me, God? Would you live here? Would you come in here? That whenever any enemy comes near my dwelling, all he can see is a fire roaring in the fireplace and a room full of angelic hosts from all the worship that I do all the time. And nobody can come in here.
Yeah, that's good.
And Jesus starts to preach something like, who can come into the house of the strong man unless they bind the strong man? And then come in and steal everything he has. Nobody binding anybody in here. In the name of Jesus, we cast down every vain argument that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And we walk in the fullness of what God's called us to. In Jesus' name, by the blood of Jesus, we pray prayers of circle prayers of the blood of Jesus all around about our house, all around about the people that we love, all around about our families, our bodies, ourselves, our minds. Okay? Finds place empty, swept, and put in order, goes and takes with him seven other spirits more, wicked than himself, to dwell there. Then it's interesting, he ends it with, somebody comes for him, somebody comes and says, hey, Jesus, your mom and your brothers are here now. And he goes, you're my mom and brothers now. Jesus made a distinction there. And if you looked in Mark, if you ever read it in Mark, it says that Jesus' family was coming to get him because his ministry was starting to get wild like this. And they were saying that he lost his mind, that he was going crazy, the Bible says. And they came to get him. And he was like, nah, I'm doing my Father's work, and I'm going to stay here until it's clear what I'm doing. And that's what he said. If you look at these scriptures in this piece about, you know, the enemy coming back and returning, it's pretty clear. If you just read the Bible straight through, it's pretty clear. When your mind is clouded and there's that forbidding of the enemy from understanding, you got to make that thing go to the side. But listen to this, just for context. The condition is that the spirit finds a house empty, swept and put in order. Okay. The outcome is that that spirit brings seven more wicked than him to live there. And the context that Jesus called this wicked generation to go through the same thing. I think the message is that empty moral reformation without filling the space with the Spirit of God is going to leave us vulnerable to a greater evil. It's pretty clear, right, church? So we have to invite the Holy Spirit. And here's a thought that I have. Here's a couple scriptures, too, all the things we've been talking about. Realizing that you're the temple of God in 1 Corinthians, Paul's speaking now. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you? Did you know that? Some of you learned that today. The Holy Spirit lives in you, and you're the house of God. You're the temple of God. You have to ask for an ongoing filling. Ongoing. Not just one time. That's like eating one meal ever. You're going to eat every day several times. Feed your spirit every day several times. The New King James says this in Ephesians 5. Walk in wisdom. It says, see that you walk circumspectly. Follow the whole thing around. Understand what God is trying to say. Not as fools, but wise. Redeeming the time because the days are what? The days are evil. So do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be drunk with wine. It's dissipation. Be filled with the Spirit. Why do you think that the comparison of being filled with the Spirit is being drunk with wine? Because I know the answer. The answer is that the Spirit of God in you is mighty, and it's better than wine. It is better than wine. It can calm any fear. It can calm any storm. It can put joy in the middle of you. The Lord my God in the middle of me is a mighty thing. Wine only lasts for a second, and then you get a headache the next day. You know, I'm not preaching against wine. I'm not. But what I'm saying is the comparison is made that the Spirit's indwelling is compared to being drunk with wine. Have you ever gone that far into the holy place? There's a spot in the holy place that God draws us into where he pulls back heaven and he reveals stuff to us. And once we see it, we're not the same. We can't be the same as we were before we saw that. Like the guys that went up on the Mount of Transfiguration and Jesus goes, I want to show you. I want to show you my glory. And he reveals himself and all the white clothes and the shining. And Peter's like, this is awesome. You got to stay here forever. And Jesus is like, I can't do that. But I wanted you to see and I wanted you to know. Won't God show us his glory? Won't he speak to us if we look for him? So a couple of things to do to settle this big word lordship or to give ourselves to the one king. You know, the Bible says, if you have two masters, you'll love one and hate the other. So have one master. Who's the master of your life? Is it, let's just ask you, Airby, is it you or God? Yeah, you guys are big talkers. So is it God or the flesh? I know it's what it's supposed to be. But I watch you in worship and you don't know what I'm talking about. God wants to come with his spirit because he's madly in love with you. And he wants you to choose him automatically. He wants to remove sin and sickness and the dark places from our lives and bring in newness of life. That we are filled with the Holy Spirit constantly. If someone comes, if someone has done something for me, man, I pretty much go over the top in a thank you. I want to. That's a human. How far will we go for the Son of God that laid himself down for us? And then he pulled the devil off of our lives in a routine maintenance, just like you get your oil change. Let's bring the Holy Spirit in and let's move that thing out. Man, if that somebody like that, you're like, praise you. Thank you. God, I need you. I want you. And when there's any opportunity that I see a cloud, I'm going to run in. I'm not going to sit there and fold my hands and act like it didn't matter. I'm going to run in. I'm not judging you. I love you. I'm your mom in the spirit. I'm going to speak things to you that are going to help you live from here up here. Without the enemy, all the way to the throne. Right? Serve one master. No one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate one and love the other. He'll be loyal to one, despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. Here he compares serving God to loving money. How much money do you give to the kingdom compared to what you spend on yourself? There's a big measuring tool. That's a big stick you can measure by, your own life and your own heart. Because greed and holding back from the kingdom of God, go have another milkshake. Just go have another Starbucks. See what I'm saying? It's empty. It leaves us with nothing when he's trying to fill our cup. Oh, you got to saturate your soul in the word of God. To keep the house from remaining spiritually barren, it must be filled with the living, active word of God. And here's the thing that I like to do when I'm just going to tell you. When I'm sitting with somebody and I got to walk through deliverance and work through hard places with them, at the end of it all, after we've already cleaned the house, we've already swept it, we've gone through all these scriptures, and then there's a thing where there's a generic infilling of the Holy Spirit. That's just the King of all kings. Holy Spirit, come and live in me. That's the main power source. But just the same way that there are demonic strongholds and demonic influence, there are angelic ones. There's a spirit of wisdom. There's a spirit of encouragement, a spirit of counsel, a spirit of humility. And you know it's true, but we always focus on the bad guys. And once the bad guys are out, we have to invite the good guys in. So say you're dealing with some, I don't know, the Bible talks about lust, greed, and the pride of life being the big three. Most of other demons will function under those three. It's just demonology 101. Lord be glorified in it anyway. Lust, greed, the pride of life. Say you're dealing with lust, okay? It's a big one. And it doesn't have to be sexual. It can just be owning, man, it could be about food. Lust is relating to food and overeating. So before we go judging anybody, let's look at what God's trying to say to our souls. So if lust is the thing and we're pulling that down and we're removing that guy out of our lives by the blood of Jesus, then maybe we ask for a spirit of holiness or purity or chasteness before the Lord. Something like that. Does that make sense? Can I have a spirit of that, Lord? Does that exist? Maybe I'm dealing with pride and my pride stops me from entering all the things God might have for me. It just says, no, you can't do that. Those people don't care for you. And it lies to you and it keeps you bound. Maybe God would bring a spirit of humility and compassion in exchange for that hard thing. Is anybody getting what I'm throwing down here today? Listen, this is what the whole New Testament, do you know what the message of the New Testament is? Besides the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, the whole rest of the New Testament, it's about growing in God. How to be a Christian. And it ain't easy, and it ain't for the faint-hearted. It's tough. This is how we make a disciple from these truths. Church. Proverbs 7, 1 through 3. My son, keep my words. Treasure my commands inside you. Keep my commands and live. Keep my commands and live. My law is the apple of your eye. Listen, if something flies in your eye, what do? Oh my God, something's in my eye. Oh, something's in my eye. Oh. And you go crazy until you get it out, right? Guard these things that I'm saying like you guard the apple of your eye. To the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. Show us how to get there, Lord. Bind them on your fingers. You know, when I got married, I put this ring on my finger and I bound it there, and it's been there forever, for 38 years. Bind the truths that we're hearing around our hearts, that we can walk this thing out. I hope you guys are feeling full. I hope you're feeling the Spirit of God. He brings conviction, then he brings healing, and then he brings direction. And then you walk in it. And so you're walking in this amazing meekness, which is power, but it's restrained by all the things that you know that you're not, because he's the only good one. But you're walking with him. Check? I'm almost done. Practice spiritual discipline and fellowship. So a biblical protection is going to involve you connecting with somebody. Confess your sins to one another that you might be healed. Confess your sins to one another that you might be healed. God doesn't have any strings attached with his love. Remember that? The love of God has no string. The promises of God are loaded with them. Okay? If we obey him, if we listen to his voice, we get the promises. So here's some of the things that we have to do ongoingly. Like when we praise and worship, you know, it's not just a song list for me. It's like prayers. I'm going to dig in real deep. And I'm going to say these things over and over to God until I feel him, until I feel loose in the spirit, until I feel like he's speaking something to my life. Does anybody ever worship God and in the middle of it, he'll tell you, you better get that thing right with so-and-so. And you're right in the middle of worship. It has nothing to do with that. And he'll be like, oh, you better take care of da-da-da. Remember you promised. He's doing that because you're finally open. It's deep calling to deep, and you're having this transference of your praise and his love, and it's just like this huge exchange, vertical. So powerful and good. Book of Psalms says, let the high praise of God be in your mouth and a two-edged sword in your hand. Execute vengeance on the nations, punishment on people. Bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters. It doesn't matter to God who is high and lifted up and exalted, because he's going to come to the meek and the lowly. He's going to come to you if you honor him. You got to have fellowship and stay connected with other believers. And you should pray and fast. If you get to a place and you just can't get over what you're struggling with, pray and fast. There's a place in prayer and fasting when you're hungry and you've gone a couple days. I remember telling her, we're going to fast you. No food. You're going to have no food. You remember that was so fun and good. And then it changes you, though. It changes your whole focus. And there's a place in it where a couple days in, all you want is the bread of life and what he has to say. And there's a place to find it. Okay? Renew your mind every day. All right. Here's what I'm going to pray. This is my homework for you. If you've had an experience in the deliverance of God on this Palm Sunday, and last week too, when we deliberately said in the name of Jesus, come off, come out, and you haven't filled the room with the Holy Spirit, would you do that right now? Would you, in your own heart, would you, under your own breath and in your own mind, invite the Holy Spirit? I invite you, Holy Spirit. I invite you, Holy Spirit, come in. Please come in, baptize me with your presence. I can't baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Only he can do that. I can't even ask him on your behalf. I do it all the time. Lord, please fill the people with the Holy Spirit. And they'll come to the door of your heart and he'll knock. And he says, if anyone hears my voice, I will come in there and I will have supper with him and I'll be there. If anyone hears my knock, and he's knocking on the door of our hearts right now, would you ask the Holy Spirit to come and to live on the inside of you? If you're already baptized in the Holy Spirit, ask him to fill you afresh. Ask him to fill you anew with fire. And this is my prayer for you, that the God of hope, this is Romans 15, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Would you stand up with me? Now look, I know, I beat you up pretty good today. You needed it though. If you didn't need it, God never would have told me. He never would have put it in my heart. And I need it too. Because of the days that we live and the times that we live in, we are to be shining lights, salty, full of flavor, bright, brightly lit, a city on a hill. And whatever we go through, and whatever hard things are in front of us, we are still called to be salty and light. And to wave the branch of Hosanna on this Palm Sunday, right? Father, would you bless your people? Would you put your spirit in us, God? Would you baptize us fresh with the Holy Spirit and with fire? That we might see your glory, that we might understand what you're up to in this world. God, let us not play patty cake anymore. Let this not be a room of Christians that have to keep going back to milk and back to the bottle and back to the breast. Let this be a room of meat-eating carnivores of the Spirit, God, that you've called us to be your witnesses in this earth. You've called us to be mothers and fathers, God, of faith. You've called us to make disciples, God. Show us who are you making disciples out of, church? God, show us who they are and how to reach, and let us be unashamed and unafraid as we step forward, free of the devil, free of strongholds, free of temptation, free of the enemy's influence, with a clean house, swept with a warm fire, with the Holy Spirit inside, in charge, full of power, full of authority, full of hope for your kingdom, God, for your glory. In the name of Jesus, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. Go get it.
Thanks for listening. You can learn more about the Loft Gathering by visiting us at loftgathering.org or joining us for worship service at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday. Till next time, be blessed.